Good day. I'm Jackie Judd, and this is Health on the Hill. Last night, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid finally unveiled a health care reform bill that he plans to shortly bring to the Senate floor. The price tag is about $850 billion over 10 years, and an estimated 31 million Americans currently uninsured would get coverage. Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News has been poring over some 2,000 pages of this bill. Mary Agnes, good morning. What are the major provisions that get Reid to those numbers I just described?
Well, he has an array of financing and coverage provisions to hit the targets you just mentioned. For example, on financing, the bill would place an excise tax of about 40% on some of these high-cost health insurance plans, but he raised that threshold to help appease unions, many of whom have members that have these plans and have taken these health insurance plans in lieu of salary increases. That threshold now would be raised to about $8,500 for a plan for an individual and about $23,000 for a plan that covers a family.
And raised from what the Senate Finance Committee bill
said. Exactly. The level originally was about $8,000 and then $21,000 with some exceptions put in committee for high-risk professions. There's also a new tax on elective cosmetic surgery, a 5% tax that would be collected by providers but levied on the cost of that surgery. There's also an increase in the Medicare payroll taxes for high-income folks. And again, we're talking here about individuals who make around $200,000 a year and couples who make about $250,000 a year. So we had to make some changes in financing to get the deficit reduction numbers and the price tag that you talked about earlier. There's a lot of market reforms that have been talked about on both sides of the Capitol, a ban on pre-existing conditions, a ban on the practice of rescission, which is canceling the health insurance coverage when someone gets sick, no lifetime or annual caps. As far as mandates go, there would be an individual mandate, but it would be significantly weaker than what's in the House package. For example, it would start in 2014, where most people would have to have coverage or pay a penalty of about $95.
That's a delay from 2013, which had been in the other bills.
Yes, there's been some of the provisions. You mentioned that example, the public option being delayed, the exchanges being delayed, the subsidies being delayed. That's pushed back a year, as the individual mandate would be. There's no employer mandate, but if you're a company and you have more than 50 workers, and they're getting subsidies to help purchase coverage in exchange, you could face a fine of $750 per employee. So they're trying to take steps on the individual mandate to get folks in, to try to encourage employers to offer coverage without mandating it, to help accomplish all the bill's goals.
And regarding the public option, the plan is that states could opt out of it, correct?
That is correct, but a state legislature would have to act for the state to opt out, but this is the language that Senator Reid had said a few weeks ago he wanted to include in the bill, and he, in fact, did include the opt-out provision.
Now, one of the trickiest issues at this moment, anyway, was what they were going to do with language regarding the funding of abortion.
Exactly. They're stipulating that no federal money could be used in the exchanges, no money used for abortion services, rather, in the exchanges, the health insurance exchanges. There'd have to be a plan that cover abortion services, a plan that does not. If the Secretary of Health and Human Services decided to cover abortion in the public option, the Secretary would have to certify that no public money would be used. So this is not as stringent as language that is much more restrictive in the House. Abortion rights proponents, Barbara Boxer, for example, of California, feels this strikes the right balance, and they're hoping that this is the abortion language that remains in a final deal.
Mary Agnes, does Senator Reid currently have the votes to get this through the Senate?
Well, that's extremely unclear. The first sign we'll see on this could come as early as Saturday on a motion to proceed, a motion for the Senate to begin to go to the bill. You could see Democrats who may have some discomfort with the package, Ben Nelson of Nebraska is one, may decide to go ahead and vote on the motion to proceed, or Joe Lieberman, an independent from Connecticut, may decide to vote yes on the motion to proceed to get the debate going, but it's unclear whether or not they will be with Senator Reid at the bill's passage. But let's remember there's a long time between when they begin the debate and the final passage. Republicans in the Senate have said they want an extremely lengthy debate for weeks, if not more, on the bill, so there's plenty of time for, if a member is concerned about a provision, to try to amend the bill to change it.
And what is the timetable that Reid would like to see?
Well, they're still hoping, they being Senate Democrats, House Democrats, and the White House, are hoping to get a bill to President Obama's desk by the end of the year. It is an extremely difficult hurdle to make because you'd have to have Senate passage of a bill. You'd have to have differences reconciled between the House and Senate, and that conference package passed again in both chambers and sent to the President. One possible scenario here is making modifications to the Senate bill that would get it more in line with the House bill if you have the support in the Senate. That's extremely unclear that would be the case. But if you could have a Senate package passed that's pretty close, that could speed a conference and get things moving faster, but we're just going to have to wait and see.
Okay, thank you so very much, Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. I'm Jackie Judd.